going on, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick Edition. I am your host, Nick, joined by Allie and Amanda. How are you ladies doing today?
Very exciting. We're in a new studio.
I have a question, actually. It's a topic for discussion. Do you think it is possible to engage in truly casual dating while also trying to work on your ability to be alone?
It really depends on your ability to set and enforce your boundaries. I feel like we started just saying boundaries more recently.
Boundaries is like the number one word we say.
But have I always used that word as much?
No, I feel like it's a recent trend.
I feel like I'm evolving as I give advice. Is like, and that's partly when I, you know, wrote my book, and then
you also rewatch a lot of your content because of the TikTok.
Part of it too is just trying to articulate, you know, ultimately what we do on the show is try to articulate a frame of mind and kind of repackage a situation to help our callers and hopefully our listeners see these situations a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? I'm not diagnosing anyone of anything. It's just, you know, it really helps frame a situation, and it's a good reminder because, like, you know, when you ask a question like this, it really just depends on your ability to like self-police, you know? So like, why do you date? You know, are you dating for sex? Are you dating for companionship? Are you dating for something to spend your free time? If you truly are dating, if it's like, I want to, like, honestly, like, I want to be single. I want to work myself, but I want to have some sex now and then. Like, I'm a sexual person and I don't feel like going 6 months without any sex if I don't have to. So occasionally I'm going to date and I'm still going to focus on being myself, and I'll go on a date if someone piques my interest and I'm physically attracted to them. Unless something changes on this date, I'm going to be upfront about my intentions and the fact that I'm not looking for anything serious. In fact, I might even say that on the dating apps so that I'm not wasting anyone's time. So can it complicate it? Sure. But it just depends on your, self-discipline. If you're dating, if you also date for companionship, then like, you really give yourself an out whenever you feel bored and lonely, and then you're not really working on being alone. Because working on being alone is that ability to feel lonely and not immediately seek companionship with essentially a stranger. You know, being comfortable with being alone is not willing to hang out with literally anyone just so that you don't feel alone.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, because like, I think I've definitely been doing that more and like challenging myself to be like, okay, sit at home tonight. Don't even like, and like not even like distract and like watch a bunch of TV. Like sit in this, see how it feels, and like just kind of hang out with yourself.
Can you,
I cook food. I don't just like sit on a couch.
Sit and look at a wall and embrace
the pain.
You're
going to think about what you've done.
Think.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
No, I mean like hang out with yourself. Like don't disassociate.
Whatever it is you want to do, you should have the most possible fun by yourself.
But it's interesting though, because I think I've been thinking a lot about like what it means to feel like you have options. Like even if you feel like you're not cashing or like calling them in, to know that like there's still people that you could reach out to, I feel like that's an added layer.
Of what? That's just your ego.
What do you mean? I mean, I feel like...
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's just like, I could fuck a bunch of people if I wanted to tonight, because they all like me. That's your ego. Like, you know, it's like, I have a roster. It is.
I'm not.
We've all done that. I mean, of course. I mean, you know, as someone who like grew up with very Catholic, right? Catholic guilt. And I didn't sleep around. I really didn't, you know, but I still had an ego. I have a big ego. And so I didn't hook up with a lot of people in my 20s, like at all. And I always had buddies who would be like, dude, why didn't you like take her home? Like, oh, she totally wanted to go home with you. And I would always say, just knowing I could, you know? And that was my ego of like,
okay,
because I didn't want to hook up. I didn't want to wake up the next day and worry about having an STD, or I wasn't all that interested in her. So like casual sex didn't like appeal to me, but I felt good that And honestly, that was for me this, I got off on knowing I could, you know, and that was 100% my ego, right? Which I think for a lot of people is something, is a thing.
Yeah.
You still get a hit of adrenaline knowing you can, and that is definitely your ego.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because, like, even throughout this conversation, and, like, to be clear, I'm not like, oh, I can fuck whenever I want. Like, I really don't have that level of, like, hubris or anything at all. I think I just don't like full detachment from people. And so I feel like I'm usually in kind of like I think I've had a lot of stuff recently, like, honestly, like, since my breakup, like, 2 years ago, that's existed at various points on the spectrum of, like, middle ground, from, like, things where it was, like, incredibly exclusive, like, very much geared toward a relationship.
I totally relate to the feeling that you're describing.
I'm realizing that there's a lot of vulnerability in being open to something that's not ambiguous. Because I think before, it's like, if I don't feel, I think for a while, I was just like, I've been in a relationship for a really long time. I want to do, like, it was almost 3 years. Like, it was for college. Like, I want to do some exploring. I'm in a new city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was like knowing that, like, oh, I'm not looking for something committed. So there's very few things that this person can say that will disappoint me, because the odds of me wanting more, even though it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's morally neutral to want more than another person. Like, that doesn't make you a bad or desperate person. But there is, like, that power of being like, I'm always going to be the bottleneck because I couldn't possibly want more from them than they would want from me. And I think now I'm like, maybe I don't want that situation anymore, which is, like, freaky.
It's just mature. It's growth. you're trying to become less reliant on other people to validate you in your ego.
Yeah.
You
know,
everything all you described is like it's like basically like a covert way that we validate ourselves.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's also hard to know. I think there's very much like the me element of it in terms of like, do I want this? But then there's also sort of the how will I treat people thing.
Sure.
Because
like, think about it. When you have a bunch of people, like you have your roster or whatever, even though you don't like them, that sense of knowing that people like you, it gives you that confidence to be like, well, when I do like someone, then they'll like me because other people like me. It's just, it makes you feel like, yeah, I must have something going for myself because there are people who like me. And when we don't like actively, when we're not aware of people who like us and who are trying, you know, we're like, well, maybe I've gotten uglier. Maybe I'm annoying. You know what I'm saying? We can get into our thoughts and we can like lean into our insecurities. Like we always shit on ego as like it's a bad thing. It's just, it's not. Our ego can be a very positive thing. It gives us confidence. It helps police our insecurities and things like that. It's just really hard to control because it's like it's a never satisfied thing.
Yeah, it's like the most delicate child that you're babysitting from, where like the second you turn away, they're like, oh, can you keep drawing with me?
Or it's just like this vicious like animal that like has this one specific job, but if you like let it off its leash, it will just terrorize everything around it, you know?
Yeah.
And what you're describing is, you know, personal growth and like, you know, having consideration for the people around you despite this need to validate yourself and just having that kind of like state of mind to be like, you know what? I don't need like a bunch of people to tell me they like me to know that I will be good enough for someone someday when I'm ready. And I won't panic and get like neurotic, insecure thoughts just because I'm not being validated.
Yeah.
It's a human experience.
Allie, where do you stand?
I feel like I'm exactly what Nick just described. I'm like, I'll just be chilling. Don't worry about me.
You're comfortable. Yeah, you're comfortable with
100%.
Being alone. 100%. But you're on the other side of the island.
There is a level of insecurity, though, definitely.
Yeah, you've gotten too comfortable with being alone.
Oh, well.
For fear of rejection.
I'll find someone when they're ready for, like, a second or third wife.
What do you mean?
What does that even mean?
I'll be, like, 50, and I'll be ready to go, I think, is where I'm going to be at. That's fine with me, I think. Probably not. That's a joke.
I think we should require Allie to go on at least one date a month.
I'll set them up for you, Allie.
No, absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay.
No. That sounds terrible. Sounds like a waste of time.
I don't think I'm able to require you for this job.
Yeah, that sounds like
that
a Title IX.
That's wrong. That's...
You're getting sued.
But you're highly encouraged to date.
I'm just going to expense my dates to Nick every month.
I think Allie and I should switch places for a month.
I would...
like Freaky Friday.
No. No, thank you. Love you, but no.
I don't think you should have to date. I just think...
it just sounds there's been terrible.
There's been times, I think, where you've expressed, like, having the capacity and or potentially the desire to, like, have just, like, someone in your corner. In the
Oh, yeah. Sense. Like, I'm an excellent girlfriend. I wish we could just jump into that. I don't want the middle shit.
Not everyone... most people aren't Amanda where they like dating. And yes, sometimes you have to... you have to, if you want to get in shape or be healthier, sometimes you have to, like, do things that aren't, like, super enjoyable. Like, some people love to work out. Most people do it because they want to meet some sort of wellness goal that they have. And they can enjoy working out a little bit more as they get used to it, but it's never, like, the same as, like, diving into some cupcakes or watching their favorite movie or, like, whatever, you know, playing video games. It's like, oh, okay, I gotta work out. It's like, and maybe when you're done, you feel better about it because you're like, you did it. But, like, not everyone's just like, oh, God, I love this thing, this working out. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't work out ever. So that's for you, you know, maybe you challenge yourself. In the meantime, really appreciate your work ethic.
Thanks.
It's great.
Thanks.
Well, we have a great episode for you. The one and the only Damona Hoffman is with us today, a relationship coach. Also, I think she's the love guru on the Drew Barrymore show. She's great. We really enjoyed having her. And what do we got? We got Jim Jefferies this week, assuming he doesn't get
sick
as well. Just remember, our recap won't be tonight. It will be tomorrow night, covering both the tell-all and, I'm guessing, beginning of Fantasy Suites. Or Fantasy Suites, I'm not really sure, but there's two episodes of The Bachelor tonight. Let's get started. Hey, we love a good thrift store. And now ThredUp is making the thrift store experience better than ever. You often leave thrift stores empty-handed and disappointed because, you know, they limited selection. But with ThredUp, no. They often have what you're looking for because they have an endless supply of inventory of some of your favorite brands like Gap to Gucci, up to 90% off estimated retail value. At ThredUp.com, get big names in your closet without the big name prices and also have fun doing it. Brands like Zara, J. Crew, and more. ThredUp also has an easy return policy, so they make thrifting worry-free. And you don't find a return policy at most thrift stores.
No.
Like when you cross the threshold, like, nope, you bought it, it's yours. Doesn't matter if you found a stain on it or a tear. So get the customer service that you would come to expect at a major retail with the same unique quality and savings that you would find at a thrift store. ThredUp is offering a deal just for new customers. So right now, head to ThredUp.com and get up to additional 50% off plus free shipping on your first order. That's an extra 50% off on items that are already up to 90% off. Plus free shipping by heading to ThredUp.com. That is ThredUp.com for up to 50% off and free shipping on your first order. Article, the easiest way to make sure your space looks beautiful. That's right, Article, man, they make great furniture. From the joyful excitement of a welcoming entryway to the comfort of a beautiful yet relaxing dining space, Article's newest collection invites guests to make themselves at home. They also have great outdoor furniture. If you're already planning for the outdoors, couches, side tables, they have it all. Incredible stuff. Article's team of designers focus on beauty crafted pieces, quality materials, and durable construction inspired by a variety of modern design aesthetics like mid-century, Scandinavian, industrial, and bohemian. Fair prices, that's right. Save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. They're able to do this because they cut out the middleman. They don't have showrooms or salespeople, no retail markups, just affordable furniture. It's fast too. Shipping is available across the US and Canada and is free on orders over $999. And if you are surprisingly not satisfied with your item, they make that exchange and return super easy. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Go to article.com/VIALL and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/VIALL. Get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
There's a term called relationship anarchy. I don't know if you guys have talked about
it. Not familiar.
But basically, it's when you believe that all your relationships hold the same value, so you don't weight your romantic relationships above your platonic relationship.
Interesting.
So that might be an option for you.
Is that, but like the word anarchy, isn't it?
It's basically taking down this concept of marriage and relationships being the end game for everyone.
So it's not necessarily considered like a negative thing, people who do that? Because I could
not by them, but it's definitely counter culture. Like it's not something that most people embrace in our current society.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering how they think about it over time. Like most like people will be like, oh, we should have a threesome in the moment. And they think it's a good idea only to realize like maybe that was a bad idea kind of thing. Because I could see how it could get not prioritizing any one relationship can get confusing. I mean, God.
But I think there's still... I
feel like you're a priority.
But there's still going to be like relationships of different depths. You know, it's like it's not like you're going to suddenly value all of your friendships the same. Like I think you're still going to have closer ones. I think it's just about like not having an additional extra layer that only a romantic partner could fulfill and like level up in importance in your life, but rather make it like an even playing field.
Well, that kind of brings up also the concept of soulmates. I find that I'm talking about this all the time.
Do you believe in it?
I don't believe in soulmates. Because I in my work, I feel like when people believe in soulmates, which most people do believe in soulmates. I think something like 76% or something.
Suckers.
I know. But when people have that belief, for me as a dating coach, it makes my job a lot harder because they think they're looking for one person as opposed to looking for
the idea of like a
good match that can move into whatever kind of relationship you want to build. Yeah. But if you're looking for a needle in a haystack, you're going to be really frustrated and disappointed and you're going to be looking for flaws in everyone that you meet.
Yeah.
You're also modeling your search in a way that you would not want to model the relationship in terms of like not being able to overcome certain, like in terms of like having a search such that you're viewing any sign of incompatibility as like a get out now thing is like not a productive mentality to bring into a relationship as well.
You also start compromising your own boundaries because you're just like, well, this is my person. So I have to accept this boundary that I set for myself that they crossed.
Yeah.
And choose to forgive them.
Mm. So you don't believe in soulmates?
No. No. I mean, I believe it in the, like, yeah, I believe it in the construct of, I mean, I'm big list building either, but a person, and I think there can be many, who fit into your like ideal partner who's right for you, who fits into the boundaries you set for yourself and what you're looking for and the connection and how you want to feel loved and be loved and give love and all those things. And there's multiple people who can do that. And if someone chooses to step out and not choose you, then you'll be fine.
Yes, we're aligned on that.
Hey, the callers are here.
Great.
Yay.
What's your time with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. What's your name?
I'm Cammy. I'm 26 years old.
How can we help, Cammy?
It's more so of like a situation where I don't really know what I need to do next. I guess to like give a little backstory. I met this guy. We'll call him Texas guy for context. In 2020.
Yeah.
My friend and I had got flown out for a birthday party, met this guy. There was a huge group of friends. And
wait, time I asked. I'm sorry. I have to, how did you meet? What happened where some guy flew you and your friend out to a birthday party?
She knew the guy whose birthday it was. And we were there for his birthday. And they rented like a big house and everything and flew us out for that.
Okay.
So we went out. There was a guy I was really interested in. Didn't sleep with him until the second night, which I know I like in hindsight probably shouldn't have, but it is what it is. And he like put his number on my phone at the end of the weekend, told me to call him. We texted for like a week after, radio silent. A year later, I hear from him because I randomly reached out after a Vegas trip. He was going on a trip to Colorado and was like, let me reroute my flight to California.
So wait, you reached out to you. There, you left. You had this like weekend. You hooked up. Nothing happened. And at some point, you reached out to him.
First. Yes, it was a year. It was literally a year later.
And you were like, "I'm going to be in the area." Like, what was the reason for reaching out?
I think I was just feeling like extra confident after a Vegas trip.
Okay, great.
And so I just like FaceTimed him. He answered, and
you FaceTimed him out of the
blue. Yeah, I wasn't like worried about him not answering.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's, most people would just text. I think it's great. And he answered.
So he did. He answered, and we talked, and then he was telling me how he was going to a friend's clothing opening or whatever in Colorado, but that he could come out for the night. So it literally would have been for 12 hours. Like, he rerouted his flight from Colorado to California. We went to dinner. He like paid for dinner, which the bar might be really low for me, but I was like, oh, that's nice.
Okay.
And we like hooked up that night, and then he left. Didn't hear anything from him. And at that point I was like, forget this. Like, I'm going to delete his number. Like, he obviously is like not in.
What was your hope like for that like weekend? Because it sure sounds on this end like it was a mutual like, let's have some sex.
I knew in the back of my mind that that's what it was. But I know that I like was interested in this guy based on like previous conversations that we had.
At the birthday party?
At the birthday party. We were there for like 4 days.
Okay.
The birthday party and then like dinner. And I could have been like totally over romanticizing the situation also. I was just kind of done with it. I was like, I don't feel good like leaving this situation and not hearing from him. So I deleted his number. Super Bowl weekend, he texts me, and I didn't have his number saved, but I like knew his number because I like the area code was Texas. I was like, I don't know anyone in Texas. Sure. So he texts me, and it was like the eyeball emoji. And he basically is saying, I'm going to be in town I'm going to be in LA for the weekend. How far are you? And I was like, I'm like an hour, you know, with traffic, Super Bowl weekend. He was wanting me to come out Saturday night to see him. And I was just like, no, I'm tired. I'm in bed. I'm not going to drive out at midnight.
Was that just day of you heard of him? Like, he reached out to you on a Saturday or?
He reached out to me on the day that he was flying out. He was like, I'm going to be in your area. Okay. Are you working this weekend? We FaceTimed that night, which is when he was asking me to come out, and I was saying, no, I'm in bed already. And I said, if you want to text me and tomorrow so that we can work something out, fine. And he goes, well, like, maybe we can get brunch in the morning. I'll, you know, end it. The call ended. The next morning he texts me. We're talking throughout the day. He's like, they had gotten a suite at the Super Bowl. So I think he was just like, I don't know, trying to impress me or whatever, but he was sending me photos. And then he was telling me,
just trying to get you to come.
Yeah, I guess. But I was literally working. I was like, I'm sorry. As much as I want to blow off work, I can't. So yeah, so I ended up going out Sunday night. He texts me after the Super Bowl's over, says, like, head my way. I come, his friends are there. These are a different set of friends than were in Texas. Like, haven't met them yet. We're at the bar in the hotel, and it's a nice, nice-ass hotel. Like, I've never been at a nice hotel before like that. And we go to dinner. We went to Mr. Chow's, which I don't really know what that was. I was like, okay. I don't know, again, if he was trying to impress me. But we go, leave that night, hook up. He leaves the next morning. I drop him off at the airport. That was Monday morning last week.
Okay.
I have therapy on Thursday because I was like, I can't process what's happening right now. And my therapist is telling me to like do some Google research. He's given me like very vague details, which in hindsight were like obviously red flags.
I love your therapist told you to internet stalk him.
I was thinking that. I was like, did she Google this guy yet?
Okay, well, here's
the
thing.
So give it to us.
So here's the thing about that is I did and found out that he was like a coach for a basketball team, high school, and
he's a high school basketball coach?
Yeah, like, but also does apparently real estate. But at this point, I'm like, I don't even know what to believe right now.
This guy, everything you're saying sounded like this guy has some kind of money.
He was telling me, when he was giving me details, he was just saying, oh, I like own a bunch of properties down in Texas. We manage them, whatever. Yeah. I'm like, okay, fine.
You can be very independently successful if you're in real estate, for sure.
Exactly. So I do my Google research and I find out this name that keeps popping up, and it's a girl's name. And I'm like, I'm just going to Facebook research, right? Mm-hmm. Mind you, this other detail I left out, when we FaceTimed Saturday, I had like this gut feeling. I was like, I'm just going to ask him if he's married. So I said, don't take offense to this, but are you married? Looks me straight in the eye on FaceTime and says, no, I was for 3 years. It didn't work out. I started seeing a lot of money that like I'd never seen before. And I think that had like an effect on it. So I'm over here like taking this man's word, right? What else am
I? Give the old I'm separated but not divorced story.
Yes. Yeah. And so I Google this name that pops up, and this man is married with 2 kids. And I'm like, at this point, just so deep into the stalking, I will admit that. But their pictures on her Facebook go back to 2012. And her like bachelor party was in like 2016.
You went back. Well, okay. But what's more important is how recent are the pictures? I mean, because like they easily could be divorced or separated. That is possible.
Okay, they could. So I thought that, you know, I'm trying to like rationalize here, but the most recent cover photo update was a family photo of all of them like 12 weeks ago in like November, I think.
Okay.
So I did some like more digging and found her on Instagram. Both of their profiles are private, which I knew his profile was private because when I met him in Texas, it was private. I friend requested, he did not accept. So I was like, okay, whatever.
And now we know why.
Yeah.
Now we know why. But her bio on Instagram was like wifey two and their last name. And then like my husband and my kids are my world. And girls are usually the first to like change the bio and the profile photo. And
yeah, he's probably still with her. I think we can all.
He is still with her because I'm embarrassed to say, but my friend followed her account and she accepted. And
she was like, a fan.
She posted a photo Monday morning, the day that I dropped him off at the airport, of them too. This man is like still wearing the same outfit I dropped him off in.
In case you haven't heard, car and home insurance rates are going up this year. Oof, that's bad news. But the good news is, though, Insurance Zebra is here to save the day. Make sure you're not paying more than you need to. Turn to The Zebra. They can help you find the perfect insurance for your needs in just minutes. The Zebra compares car and home quotes from every major insurance company side by side, giving you all the facts you need to make the right decisions. It's the fastest way to find the right coverage at the right price, all from a provider you can trust. In fact, The Zebra saves people an average of $922 a year on car and home insurance combined. That's a lot of money. Plus, they do it all in just 5 minutes. The experience on The Zebra was wonderful. It really took less than 5 minutes. I'm not going to disclose how much I saved, but I'll tell you what, it was worth my while. Save time and money in minutes. Save your support for the show by going to this special URL, thezebra.com/VIALL, and get your free coat today. That's thezebra.com/VIALL. So what's your question? Yeah. What are you thinking about doing? I'm really curious.
My therapist gave me a bunch of different options, right?
That's what they do.
Yeah. At this point, I don't know, because I think I'm also like hurt and frustrated and sad about the situation. So I guess my question is like, for one, I don't think that I did anything wrong because I asked him and he lied about it. Like, how else was I supposed to know? So trying not to take responsibility for that. But do I owe her the common human decency, woman to woman, to tell her like, hey, I'm not trying to break up your marriage, but you should know we slept together 3 times over the course of 2 years. Mm. Like,
no.
And then my other question is, do I call him out? He asked if I was taking trips coming up and told him I was going to Vegas. And 3 different times he mentioned like, let me know so I can come and see you. And part of me wants to be like, I want to tell him off to his face, but I'm just like, I don't know what to do.
Well, I definitely have some thoughts, but I'm curious, Damona, if you want to kick this off.
Well, when you said I didn't do anything wrong, I just want to understand a little bit more where that was coming from, because I I feel like you, of course you didn't do anything wrong. I mean, this isn't, that's not really the question. The question is really more, what series of decisions led to this and what do you do going forward? I saw a lot of red flags because I was going to ask about the Googling because there were a lot of things as a dating coach that I saw, just he's not available in between your dates. He's not accepting your friend request. That made my spidey senses go up. Mm-hmm. My personal feeling is that his life is separate from yours now. And you need to protect yourself and your emotions going forward. So even trying to catch him in something or trying to stalk his cyber stalk his wife and let her know, I think that's continuing to keep you emotionally invested in the outcome here. And I'm not mm-hmm. sure that that's really what you want. So I'm just going to come back to, is there something in there that's making you feel like you need to repair for yourself, like you did something wrong, and there's it's more about the guilt that you're carrying for feeling like you might be the reason for this relationship breaking up?
I think there definitely is a feeling of guilt, even though like I didn't know, but it's more so, it feels like a weight of one, they have a family together. Like I could potentially be a reason why that family ends. Not that I want to take that on, but that's where my mind goes. And I think that's just like the biggest weight.
My question to you is, because like, well, you're not the reason why if their family, he would be the reason. Like you don't even know her. You don't know anything about him. You know, when you were telling this story before we got to the, oh, by the way, he might be married part, my question to you was, why are you so emotionally invested in this guy who, the way you tell the story, you tell the story that it's so clearly like this like casual like hookup situation. You guys live in different parts of the country. You know, you came to this party, you guys hooked up. I don't know, the way you told the story was, yeah, you didn't have any expectations. There weren't any conversations, I hope you call it, was like, I hooked up with this guy and I moved on with my life and he went on with his. Months go by, I decided to FaceTime him. I was almost surprised he answered. It was like this kind of like one person that you kind of had this like fun weekend with, which is, if that's what you were doing, great, you know, fine, you YOLO. But I'm just curious as why you were treating it like a guy you liked or this like situationship where you act confused about his actions, where I'm just like, how did you get so emotionally involved in this person you barely hung out with? And when you did, the same thing happened every time. You meet up, you hooked up, he left. Like, what were you confused about in terms of the expectations of that situation?
I know that it's because I wanted it. Yes, like I talk about it very casually, and I think it's because I've had a week to process it, I guess. But I think in the back of my mind, I genuinely like would have wanted more. I don't date a whole lot because I have an emotional bubble wrap around me. I'm working on it. But I think in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, this could potentially, like, I like traveling. So like the back and forth, like going to see each other would be fun. I think I was fantasizing it maybe.
Did you ever like talk to him about this? Like at any point, the weekend you guys met or that other weekend he rerouted his flight or even Super Bowl weekend, did you say anything, even float the idea about like, hey, I'd like, maybe we can see each other in a month or how about we start talking more?
So both times, Super Bowl weekend and the time he rerouted his flight, I kind of like tried to gauge the situation of where he was at relationship-wise. And trying to ask like if he was ready to date. Like after he told me he wasn't married, I was like, okay, are you even looking to date? And he was telling me like word for word, the only problem with you is that you live in California.
Okay.
So in my mind, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, like if we talk more and like, you know, we obviously you don't have a problem traveling. I don't have a problem traveling. So I was wanting it to be more.
And that's
obviously
what happens.
That's not going to happen now.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you got involved physically very early on. It was very intense. You saw each other every day for 4 days, and you're in this emotional sort of pressure cooker. And so we get attached to the fantasy. And that's the thing that you're sort of mourning right now, that you need to let go of, the fantasy of the life that you thought could have been on the other side of this. But I'll tell you also, as a dating coach, I've seen situations like this many times before. And I would be willing to bet that there might be other women that he's done this with before.
For sure. Almost a certainty, right?
Almost a certainty, especially because, I mean, he knew all of those things. It was very strategic. He took you to nice dinners. He rerouted his flights. This is a story that he's played out before. And if that doesn't untether you from this fantasy of the life that you thought you were building, I don't know what would.
No, totally. And I agree with Damona. I mean, I don't, as far as, if we're focused just on you and your like well-being and mental health and like your ability to move on, like his family life is not your problem. And just to that point, there are other people, like, you know, people say, oh, I'd want to know. Yeah, I guess, but it's really not your business, and you would be involving yourself and you become even more part of this drama. You even acknowledge that you are sucked into this. You're getting some sort of stimulation from this, you know, that toxic stimulation I call about, but you're kind of always having fun stalking, you know, finding more, your friends are involved, you guys are gossiping, it's taking up a lot of your time. And you're going to get even more consumed in that and more wrapped into the situation that we now know isn't going anywhere, right? You know.
Right.
You can acknowledge that
whatever
you thought or dreamed of or fantasized about is not going to happen. So,
yes.
I don't think it does you personally any good to involve yourself further. Listen, here's what I think you can do to avoid guys like this and then help yourself in general. And Damona can let me know if she agrees or not. But I think the more you set upfront expectations about what you meet anyone, what do I want from this person? How much do I like them? You have a conversation with yourself quickly, and then you let them know. You set up front, the more expectations you have of someone, the more you let them know what you're interested in. But trust me, cheaters will back off. They'll you're too much. Oh my God, this girl wants things from me. She has these expectations. That is not the type of person a cheater is interested in fucking around with. Somebody who doesn't ask questions, someone who's like kind of okay with them coming and going, that's a gold mine. Oh my God, she's just chill and cool, and she doesn't want anything. I just text her out of the blue. She shows up. Great. And I disappear. She doesn't text me again. Perfect. So expect more from what you want and be willing to say that. And trust me, you will get more from the people you're interested in. And then anyone who's unfaithful or lying, they'll just back away because they won't have any interest in someone who knows what they want and is willing to say that to people they're interested in dating.
Does it not come off too strong when you like start with that though?
Don't you want someone who would respect you being strong and focus on what you want? Sure. Will you turn off a lot of people who are interested in casually hooking up or fucking around? Of course. But I don't know what your goal is when it comes to dating. But if you're interested in finding someone who wants to be with you and chooses you based on who you are and what you like, then yes. What you're talking about is a filter. Filters are good. But filters will come with a lot of what you call as like people not being interested in you. Don't see it as rejection. See it as a filter. It's like your filter.
Exactly. And there's one other element of this. I completely agree with everything Nick said, but there's a Maya Angelou quote that I find myself repeating a lot. When someone shows you who they are the first time, believe them. So he showed you when you were clear and you asked the question, can I see you again? And he said, yeah, maybe we'll figure something out. You got the answer, but it didn't match with the fantasy that you had built. So we tend to negate that answer and figure out how do we get it to the answer that we want it to be. But he showed you in that moment, if you could believe what you were seeing, then he wouldn't have taken you on this emotional ride.
Yeah. You chose the possibility of excitement over the fear of disappointment. I think for you, the biggest takeaway is think of these boundaries you want to have for yourself and the people you date. Don't think of them as making yourself less attractive or desire other people. Think of them as filters to protect yourself and narrow in on the people you actually want to invest in. Because, oh my God, how daunting is it to like try to like find one person when you have no filters or screen time? It's like That's like going, I always use Netflix as my analogy. That's like going in Netflix, hoping to find something you want to watch for the rest of your life without any titles, without any previews, without any show descriptions. It's just, you're going to press play on each one and find out if you like it. Imagine how long that it's going to take to find.
And you're not going to rate each of the ones that you've watched. Yeah. So the algorithm's not going to know how to work for you.
You're just
going
to, well, I guess we'll find out, you know, and you're... That's what you're doing. So think of them as filters, and you should like think about that. Like, what do I want? What do I want in someone? And not list building. Not like I want someone who goes to college or like doesn't have tattoos. How do I want them to treat me? How do I want to feel when I'm around them? What type of like, how much time do I want to invest in someone? How much do I want them to invest in me? What are my expectations as we get to know each other for like us to continue to talk? You know, what are my non-negotiables? You know, all those things. And yes, some people won't like that. And you should be thrilled because someone will. And you're only looking for one, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
All right.
I'm not disagreeing.
hopefully that was helpful.
It was. Thank you.
Right. Take care. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
How's it going?
I'm good. I'm Allie and I'm 25. I'm from Ontario, Canada.
Hi, Allie. How can we help?
My dilemma, I guess, today is with my best friend, Emily. Background, we've been best friends since we were 14 in grade 9. We're inseparable. We go everywhere. We've done a lot of trips together. Super close. I've always known that she's not the greatest person to other people in our lives, but I've overlooked that just because she's always been a good friend to me. And it's just, we've been friends for so long.
Can you give some examples of like, what do you mean?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I have examples. like in high school, she's just very mean to other people. She doesn't like them. If someone says one mean thing to her, she kind of snaps. She's very bitchy that way. But I always just kind of overlooked it. I'm like, yeah, I'm her friend. She's nice to me, so whatever. But recently, she hasn't been the greatest person to me. So I have like a couple examples because my dilemma is I don't know if she's someone that I should keep in my life or if it's like a conversation that I should have with her. It kind of started about a couple weeks ago that I kind of had like the wake up call, I guess. One of my guy best friends, his girlfriend got in a really horrific car accident. Like she was on life support for a couple days. She's still not able to walk. My best friend knows both of them, but not the girlfriend super well. They had one encounter. They didn't really like each other. And when this car accident happened, my boyfriend and I were on the phone and she's like, well, he's never been mean to me, but that's on the underhand. She's kind of a bitch. So even though I know that she's not doing okay, I'm more concerned for his mental well-being. And my boyfriend and I were just like, that's a really crappy thing to say about someone who might lose their life. Like, just because you didn't like her the first time you met her, you just don't care if she lives or dies. And it was just really bad. And I didn't talk to her for a week. We just don't talk every day. And I was just kind of like, that's a really weird thing to say. And then she's always been the type to like one-up other people. She's very competitive. So she ended up going to school for something else. And then when I went into my career, she's like, oh, that seems really cool. Like, it's good money. So she went to school to do that, which I'm not like, oh, she's copying me, but it's whatever. She wants to do the career. She's now working at a place that I used to work at under this exact same person that I worked under. And I was like, there's plenty of other companies you could have worked for. It's weird. But my boyfriend and I were at her and her fiance's place a couple weeks ago. And I told her, I was like, yeah, like I just quit this job. I got like my dream job, like really good money, right close to home. And there wasn't even like a congratulations or anything. She just went right into, oh, well, I asked for this giant raise because they think I'm so awesome. And if they don't give it to me, I'm going to leave. And I was like, I know this company. They're not going to give you, like, she was asking for like almost double what she's making. And she has like 6 months experience. I was like, I don't think they'll give it to you. And she's like, well, you're just being a bitch because I'm better at our career than you are and you're not making as much. And I was like, you're lying. Like, I know you are. And we kind of got into this little spat and even like her boyfriend or fiance was like, I don't think like you don't make that much money. And you never told me that you asked them for this raise and blah, blah, blah. And it was just very awkward after that. And a couple days ago, I didn't know this. The last little point that I was like, okay, she's not being a super good friend right now. So my boyfriend told me the other day, last time we were at their place, he made a joke being like, how would you feel if a week before your wedding, I proposed to Allie? And she was like, well, actually, I want to talk to you about this. And he's like, oh, I was like totally kidding. I would never, like, I'm not going to do that. And she was like, no, I want to talk to you about this though, because you need to not propose to Allie until after I get married, because apparently I'll make it all about me and not her. And she just doesn't want us to be like engaged at the same time and stuff. And she's like, if you guys get engaged before my wedding, I don't think I can be friends with you guys.
Okay, so now Charlie convinced me why you're even considering still being her friend, because you painted like a very like clear picture of like, hey, listen, I don't know. I grew up with this person. We were friends. Maybe it's just time not to be anymore. I'm like, what? Yeah. Is there a dilemma, or are you just looking for our blessing?
Not so a blessing. It is to me still a dilemma, just because she is like really my only best friend right now. Like, just since high school, I've grown apart from a lot of people.
Sure.
And all of my new close friends are a lot of like my boyfriend's girlfriends, and like they're my friends and I don't dismiss that. But besides her, I don't really have like that girl best friend that I can like go to for everything. And like, if I do need her, she's there. Like, she's a good friend in most cases. I wasn't really having the biggest dilemma until I found out about the whole proposal thing. Like, that was like 2 days ago that my boyfriend told me, and I was just so angry. So I was like, that's just a really mean thing to say. Not that I even think we'd get engaged, but we don't need to, like, if we want to, we're
going to. She's completely overstepping her.
Yeah. So it's more so like, I don't know if this is a conversation that I need to have with her, or is this more something that it's like, it's done. I shouldn't be her friend. Because the thing is, I am in her bridal party. So it's not like a friendship that I can just kind of like let sizzle out. It would have to be a conversation at one point being like, I'm not going to be your bridesmaid. Like, I'm just not in your life. And I don't know what the best route is, because I haven't actually had to like deal with like a friend falling out like this before, I guess. Yeah. So
if I'm understanding you, the biggest like hang up is the history you guys have and the desire to have your kind of like one ride or die friend. Do you have any sisters or brothers?
I have two older sisters, yeah.
Not as close. I mean, I have a lot of siblings. I'm not like...
But my middle sister and I are very close. My older sister, like, we're close, but she's got issues too. So
yeah, we all have
issues.
I
don't tell her a lot.
I don't know. What do you think, Mona?
It sounds like she hasn't been very understanding in the past when you have brought things to her attention. So I think you do at least owe her a conversation, especially considering you're in the wedding. But the thing is, you have to be able to release an attachment to the outcome. If you're willing to have that conversation, you have to be okay with her saying, you know, screw you and you're not in the wedding and I hate you and we're never talking again. Or potentially she might say she might say, I hadn't realized I was acting like that. I'm a bridezilla. I'm so sorry. I will change. Yeah. But she probably won't. And you have to be okay with it going either way if you're willing to take that step. The other option is you let it stay in limbo for right now, get through the wedding, and then, because she might be bridezillaing out a little bit. Like, sometimes it does, I've been there, like, sometimes it makes you a little crazy. But on the other side, if she's still acting like that, you have to ask if it's really worth your time to invest in this relationship where it sounds like you're not getting a lot back. I mean, you told us about a few bad things, but you, other than the fact that she's there for you and she picks up the phone, I haven't heard a lot of things that she makes you feel good about yourself when you're with her. She brings more joy and positivity to your life. And that's really, I mean, what's the point of having a friendship if people aren't there for you on those other levels?
If the engagement story didn't happen, were you questioning the role she played in your life and their friendship before this particular story?
Or
did the story make you kind of go back and think of all the other times that she's been shitty to you or people because this thing really pissed you off?
the second option for sure. Like the last few weeks, okay. I've definitely been like reflecting over like other situations since like high school and being like, oh wow, like
sure.
Yeah, she's kind of always been like that. But like I said before, like she's never really been horrible to me. Like she's always been like I said, competitive and like tries to one up me, but she used to actually like celebrate my wins too on top of hers.
Think she's more, when it comes to how she treats other people, do you think she's more cruel or just kind of rude and unself-aware?
I think she can be rude and unself-aware. She's definitely had like cruel moments, but she doesn't like go out of her way to be mean. It's more so like if someone even makes like a slight joke.
Yeah. Do you believe in her, like her heart, her character, like despite like her flaws and maybe how, like, I don't know, it could be a personality trait. Like, I don't know, maybe she's just like socially awkward. I don't know. And the reason I asked that other question about like which one was it more, the fact that it was more based off of this one situation, which again, I'd be fucking pissed if I were you. But like the fact that it was kind of this triggering event. And when that happens, we like kind of go back in history, you're not seeing history as clear or you're seeing it different. And that may be accurate. I don't know. I don't know what's more accurate, but it is affecting how you're seeing the past. Like if it was like something, if this was the last straw, then it's like, hey man, you kind of see the writing on the wall and she just confirmed what you were already thinking. But that's not what was happening. So yeah, I absolutely think based off of that, you got to address this situation and then you got to head on. Just be like, listen, that, I don't know what you meant by that or if you're kidding, but it really bothered me. My fiance knows that you're my best friend. And as my best friend, you're someone like as a best friend, you're like the guy who's like getting engaged or wants to get engaged, you know, the sister, the best friend, those are like people they kind of go to be like, hey, I'm thinking about proposing. Like, what should I do? What rings, you know, all those things. Like, that's why you have that type of best friend, right? Like you're literally saying to us, well, I don't want to lose that person. That person, whoever that is, has that role. And I think it's kind of like, you know, guys, men and women have that. And she like failed at this very important job of this role, which is to like be like, oh yeah, she loves you. And oh, I'm so excited for her. And like, have you thought about rings? I'll go shopping with you. She was like, no, don't. It's about me. That's fucked up. And you have a right to be mad. Yeah. So you have to articulate that with her and then just say like, you know, I would always approach it with give her the opportunity to like, give her the grace that maybe she can articulate why she said it or just own up to the fact that like, yeah, you're right. I mean, honestly, I was kidding, but like I see how that came across and I was definitely being a bridezilla or thinking of myself. And then, you know, maybe that kind of rewrites her viewpoint. And then I do think if that is the case, deal with this situation. Don't dump your history of frustrations under this one situation to validate that you think you were right. Like you don't, this, how she handled the situation, you don't need any other like data or evidence to be right. And this one, she could have been a goddamn saint and the perfect friend and still had done this and it would be just as fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So don't bring in the past to like try to enforce your argument at a different time, assuming like maybe she does say, hey, you know, sorry, she handles it perfectly. And you're like, thank you. I'm glad we could work this out and be friends. Maybe another time in the future, you could like say, do you ever like, why do you say what you say when you say it sometimes? You know?
Well, yeah.
It's kind of, and I'm only coming like, it's kind of like sometimes off-putting or it kind of comes off as rude. And I don't think you're rude. I don't want people to think you're rude. You know, that's a different conversation. But listen, friends come and go, and I do think big picture wise, if it doesn't go the way you hope, if she doesn't own up and she doesn't acknowledge, because I think if she fights you on this, you know, like you want to reassess the friendship.
Yeah,
and like your ride or dies change, and you know, if you're lucky enough to get engaged and married, and maybe your husband becomes your ride or die, and your sister can be the person you bounce ideas, and like it doesn't like it changes, man, like.
Yeah.
Very few people have the same friends. I mean, I have like my two best friends from high school that are still my two best friends. And if you made me say, Nick, who are your two best friends? I'm going to think of them.
But like, mm-hmm. I'm not coming to them for like my, we have evolved. They're married with kids. They live in Wisconsin. We lead very different lives. And there's things I go through in my life that I'm not every situation I have, I'm thinking, yep, got to go talk to them. They would have no idea how to answer like certain things that are going on in my life. You start picking and choosing people who are more appropriately aligned to answer the challenges that you have. You know, when we're younger, that bubble is, all the problems we have are kind of like within that kind of, yeah, my best friend can handle that. They can, but like, what does your best friend know about X, Y, or Z when you've maybe grown apart, but you're still best friends because you grew up together? You know what I'm saying? Like, so
yeah,
it's not the end of the world if this friendship doesn't like go the way you want. Like, you'll be able to have people to bounce ideas off, people more appropriately like capable of like answering things, you know? But in this particular situation, yeah, like this was like her one fucking job, is that one best friend to like be there for you and support your boyfriend and his desire to want to get engaged to you. And like, that's, if she can't do that, what's the fucking point? Empathize with her on the fact that you understand that this has been a big deal for her and she's been waiting, but that doesn't give her the right to like come between like your life and your happiness. Even if he, because whether he was joking or not is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like, she shouldn't be saying that stuff. Like, whenever your relationship is ready to take that next step, you have the right to take it regardless of anyone, especially a friend. And you hope to have a friend in your life that can share happiness. I don't want to have friends who like, you know what? Today's about me. Tomorrow's maybe about you. Like, maybe birthdays, I guess. And like weddings, you don't get to like call like dibs on the next 2 years. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you should be able to share happiness. That's
yeah.
I don't know. That's just me. I didn't write the book on friendship, but that's kind of how I take it. So yeah, I would address this issue. Don't bring up the past to like make your argument and see what she says.
I will say it might help you to write out what you're going to say, like what you think you're going to say. Don't read it to her, but get clear on your thoughts and the point that you're trying to make. And like Nick said, be specific. Don't make it about everything. It's about this one issue and how it made you feel. Because once you get, it's going to be emotionally charged, right? And then once you start in the conversation, you might end up saying something that you regret and she's going to overreact to it. So just like have your script, stay the course.
Stay on script, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And then be open to whatever outcome unfolds.
All right.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Best of luck. Let us know how it goes. I'm definitely curious for a follow-up on this one.
I will definitely let you guys know.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
How's it going?
It's going great. My name's Amanda and I'm 25.
Hi, Amanda. How can we help?
Okay. So I am having what you would call a situationship with a lovely Christian boy who's creating my brain fire right now. I met him over the summer, and we've just kind of like met through church things here and there. I DM'd him back in like September. We talked for like 3 days straight and then he kind of just like didn't respond. And I was just like, okay, whatever, like no big deal. And then back in December, he reached back out. And since then we have not stopped talking. We talk every single day. We both work out early in the morning. Sometimes he texts me at 4:30 in the morning, just, you know, whatever. My initial reason for calling in was asking to see if maybe he was just being too nice to me because nothing was going on. We had hung out a few times in person, one-on-one. We had gone to some hangouts with some friends. And it's just like, we don't talk about like, just like, hey, what's going on kind of stuff. We talk about pretty like deep stuff, very like boyfriend, girlfriend type conversations. But about 3 weeks ago, he did text me and he basically just expressed that he just wants to be friends, because he just got out of a relationship and is just not really ready to be in one. And he just said like, you know, he's loved getting to know me and really wants to continue a friendship with me. I was like, yeah, of course, like no big deal. It's been like a month, whatever, no big deal. Well, in my opinion, I was thinking, okay, well then he's just going to fizzle this out. Like this isn't going to be something. He's just going to, oh, we're just friends. And then just going to stop talking to me, which isn't the case. If anything, we started talking more. We started hanging out more with his friends. Like just this weekend, we literally hung out Friday night, Saturday night, and then also yesterday, like all day. Still around friends, but we like make the plans together. So it's like, I'll be like, hey, do you want to hang out? Like, let's do this. And he'll be like, oh yeah, like, you know, where do you want to go? And then he'll just like add people to it, which is totally understandable. But It's just like weird that we make plans. Yeah. I roll my eyes every time. But
as long as he can't see it.
So I'm just like super confused because he told me that he doesn't want to date right now. And like, I also like, I get that. And it's like, okay, well, cool. But like, also, why are you giving me boyfriend energy if you don't want to be in a relationship
with
me?
He's not giving you boyfriend energy. It's giving you, I like having you around energy.
Okay.
Which is something like it, I feel like people in your position often see it that way. And maybe it's just more guy. I mean, I do think situationships, I don't think it's gender specific. Yeah, I think it has to do with what I refer to the hopeful side. You're the hopeful one in this side of things.
You
hope that he wants more. He doesn't. And like your story is a tale as old as time. you know, and it's this, and I fake it till you make it. It's great in a lot of aspects. I mean, I'm a big advocate of faking it till you make it when you're heartbroken. You know, when people are like, oh, how's it going? And you're really sad and you want to like talk about it and you want to like be in your feelings. I'm a big advocate of being like, I'm good. And just convincing yourself that you're okay, even when you feel like you're not, and getting back out there and like slowly you will be like, you know what? I am doing okay. You know, like, and but definitely terrible time to fake it till you make it in a situationship.
No, I just don't understand. Like, I just like, I think my concern is that he's going to just like finally be ready and he's just going to drop everything that we've been building, just even as a friend, and just find another girl off the street and cool. And then just start dating her instead.
Most likely. Yeah.
Did you say, I know we're talking about a situationship and I know you said you met him through a Christian, through a church. Mm-hmm. Did anything physical happen? Has anything?
Oh, good question. Yeah.
Not like in any like relationship type of way. We've like hugged and when we like hang out with like friends, we've been like drinking and stuff. Like we sit next to each other. We're definitely like close. We're touching the entire time, but like nothing, no kissing, no holding hands, no things like that. So like that level isn't really.
Is your religion playing into that? Like how, like TMI, but if you're comfortable answering that, but like, are you having sex before marriage or like, or is that something like people in your church, like you got having sex is a normal thing?
So my church is very like a lot of young adults, like majority of my church is like, so I'm from Austin, very like young people. Okay. My entire church is made up of like people in their 20s to 30s. We are called the hookup church because we just have a bunch of people that are young and ready and wanting to date. Personally for me, I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but it's not something that I like, am going to like hook up with somebody on the first, second, third, you know, date. It definitely would be inside of a relationship.
So, I mean, it is an interesting wrinkle that this guy, that you're not hooking up. I don't think it changes much what I would say to that, just because it's just like, you know, just a personal choice for whatever reason you haven't, but there are other aspects of a situationship or like a connection other than obviously sex and the conversations you're having, you know, like maybe he just likes having it. People on the hopeful side of situationship, they're always confused. It's like, why are they willing to do this?
Yeah.
They're not. Listen, because relationships are about expectations. And when you like get into a relationship, there's the do's and don'ts. Like, what am I okay with you doing? What are you not? Like I've said this like 100 times over, like, it's just about sacrifice. When you get into a relationship, a part of it is agreeing what you're no longer going to do with other people. You know, that's what makes it strong.
True.
This choice, this bond. And the reason why people avoid that is, well, they don't want to have expectations, you know? So that's why. And then again, whether it's sex or just your comfort or your ability to go shopping with him or watch movies or bend your ear, you know, someone you can build a connection with, but he still has the option to, as you are afraid of, to find something else with something better.
Yeah.
He can do that, you know?
And coming out of a relationship, he probably has a need for comfort, as Nick was saying. Yeah. And you're meeting that need. You're there for him at 4:30 in the morning. You're there for him every day. So you're meeting that need for him. The question is, what needs do you have that he's not meeting for you?
I mean, physical touch is definitely like a need that that he's not meeting. You know, like that's the relationship side. I think that that's probably what I crave. Just I got out of a a very long-term relationship about 5 years ago. Like all my friends are just excited that I'm interested in a guy. And like, actually I'm putting forth effort, because I haven't done that in 5 years. And so that's why I feel this feels different, but it's like this guy, just like, if you put him on, put his resume out there, he's got everything that I was resumes. Looking for, but he's not. I
love resumes. Yeah.
I'll get you a cut. Well, and you, like, you're just like, you're not interested in people. Like you're single for 5 years. Why do you think that is?
I think for a long time, I did a lot of like hookup culture. I kind of just was like very like emotionally unattached. Like I didn't really want to give people that relationship like heart, just because I was so heartbroken. I think I was willing to give them, you know, the physicalness of a relationship, but not really like the depth that it requires. So I think that's why I didn't want to date.
So you dealt with a bad breakup in the past?
Yes. Yeah. I dated a guy for 4.5 years.
Okay.
And it was just really difficult to kind of, you know, bounce back into like a dating scene. And I was also, when we broke up, I was 21. So it wasn't like, oh my God, we were dating for this long and I'm 25, you know? So it's not like I haven't lived, you know, long enough for that relationship to be that heart wrenching, but it's like something that it's like,
still affected you.
You know, I don't.
Yeah.
So.
Like you definitely were obviously protective of like your heart, whether you went about it the best way or not. I mean, like also like fine, you went out, you had some fun. Okay. But yeah, I think now you're probably putting a little too much pressure on yourself. It's like, oh, now I'm ready to date. And I found this guy with a really great resume. And well, he's the only one who's going to…
Yeah, is the only guy out there that could possibly… Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like a nice guy who you really like, who could have potential. But he doesn't… You know, like it's more than just his choice. Like him choosing not to want more with you is… a ding on this perfect resume that you claim he has, you know? That's part of his resume too. His lack of wanting more, you know? The fact that he says things that are confusing, you know? That he says and tries to set some sort of boundary and fade away, and then immediately his actions are to actually reach out more, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll say this. Like last week, I like sent this screenshot to my girls because I literally was like, I was flabbergasted because I was like, okay, fine, we're friends. You know, I try to like keep it very bare minimum. It doesn't work. But we were like talking about like food and like what he, I was like, oh, you know, what are you having for lunch? Whatever. And he like mentioned it. And I was like, oh, you know, that's kind of sounds like not super great. He's like, oh no, like you definitely need to come over and like I'll have to make it for you sometime. And so it's like comments like that, like just what bothers me because it's just like, okay, but that is not something that you say to your friends, at least not to your girlfriends.
Maybe he likes to cook and show off.
I mean, yeah, but like,
I like to cook and show off. You know,
but to a random, like, to one of you, like, just like a random girlfriend, like, you would do that? I mean, obviously,
I know I wouldn't, but I mean, there's a lot of people who don't kind of have that boundary for themselves, or and he's thinking, well, I told her, you know, because like. People always do that. So it's like, oh, that one time I had that conversation, I told her I don't want more. And then going forward, I can always revert back to that one time I said I don't want more. And he's thinking, well, fuck, I just cooked. I mean, I cooked. I cooked you food. What is that? You know? And there is he has a point. There is a point to that. It's like, we fantasize about, oh, it'd be so romantic. Maybe at some point you fantasize about like, oh, it just would be nice to find a guy who just like make me dinner and romantic. I'm sure that, you know, I probably thought about, oh, that'd be cool, you know, a romantic night. But it is just cooking, you know? And so he took the romance out of it by like setting this boundary and you know, try not to romantic, go back to what he thought you were doing or what you hoped he would do. Also, like you said resume, so I'm just going to harp on that too. But like, you know, I'm guessing you don't have listed on this like ideal resume of says one thing and does another. It confuses me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we so conveniently leave that off the resume. It'd be like someone who presents you that perfect resume, but like they're like, you know, they do all the things that they, oh, I worked here. I went to this college. This was my GPA, you know, shows up late to work every other, you know what I'm saying? Like, doesn't get my stuff done. Like, you know, not super reliable.
Only wants to work on his schedule.
Yeah. So like a boss would be like, oh, that's a great resume. You know how many people have great resumes, get hired and get fired, like all of a sudden like, fuck, this guy sucks. Or this person sucks all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people make really bad hiring decisions all the time based off of really good resumes. Dating and relationships are no different. So every time you say to yourself, like, oh, this person has a great resume, the fact that you even have to say that to yourself and revert back to the thing, what you're doing is you're trying to validate to yourself your decision to give them your energy. And the fact that you have to do that, it means you're trying to like feel better about your choices, not theirs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Again, he's getting his needs met and you're looking at it from the perspective of the needs that you have and how his actions line up with your narrative. But if you flip it from his perspective, it makes total sense to me why he would do something like that.
Yeah.
But when you look at it from your perspective, thinking that there's a different end game, that's when it becomes confusing. You're overlaying your expectations on his actions.
Yeah. And he's I'm sure he cares about you. He probably even likes you. And there's even a world where he could come around, but he's definitely not going to come around while you're still allowing him to come and go and do what he wants when he pleases, not have to live up to any of your expectations when it comes to a relationship. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, it's so happened. You're the poster child. No, you're not the poster child, but it's tale as old as time. They act like my boyfriend. They give me girlfriend energy. Like, what is going on here? But you're not giving him girlfriend energy. Why? You know what I'm saying? Because would you allow this behavior in a relationship? Or do you want this behavior in a relationship? So clearly you're not giving him the energy that you want in a relationship.
Yeah. Okay.
You're saying yes to things that you know you should be saying no to. That's not girlfriend energy. Not the stuff that you want for yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, in your opinion, would you say that like when he texts me, like, you know, whatever, like, should I have a conversation with him? Because I think my fear is having a weird conversation. It's like, I'm not in love with this guy. I haven't even kissed this guy, you know? So it's like, I don't want to have this like weird, uncomfortable conversation, but it's also like, how do I get that point across without like.
Start dating other men. And when he tries to be your friend, be honest. What are you doing tonight? Okay. Oh, I got a date. Again, don't throw it in his face. Don't throw out of your way, but live your life. And if he happens to reach out at a time where you have something else going on, tell your friends what you have going on. That's what friends do. Oh, I got plans. See how he reacts. Don't say yes to boyfriend things that he wants to do. If you think that, hey, only boyfriend and girlfriend should be doing it, that's your choice. He might feel differently, to Damona's point. So don't say yes to those things. His expectations might be, I don't know, I cook for people. I don't just cook for my significant other. That's his expectation. And he's responsible for saying yes and no to his expectations and boundaries for himself.
Yeah.
So you should stop saying yes to things that you want to keep exclusive for a romantic and an actual relationship. And then go live your life. And if he asks you what's going on, like definitely like be honest about a date that you have and see if he like, see if that rattles something in his head and makes you realize, oh shit, you know, I don't want to lose what I have. So when you start saying no to relationship stuff and you set those boundaries, you don't need to have a conversation. You can just do it through your actions. Show him what it means to you to be in a relationship. So you say no to things that he wants to do that you deem relationship stuff, and you start saying yes to those things with other people. And then you see if that bothers him.
And also be careful with the daily texts. I would imagine you're also very available and you text him right back and
I will say like there's sometimes like I am busy, so I don't, right? Like when I am busy at work and stuff like that, but like right now I'm in a season of very like I don't have a lot to do at work, and so it's like throughout the day I'm literally just I am available. And you know, at 4:30 in the morning, I'm like, I'm awake at 4:30 in the morning. Mm-mm. I don't have to text him back. Mm-mm. You know, like that's not something I should be doing, but you know, it's like a weird thing. Cause it's like, I don't want to play like a game of like not being available, but it's also like,
so don't think of this, you're not playing a game. You're deeming it as I don't respond to, cause you don't want to be friends with them. That's the point.
I don't just want to be friends. Yeah.
Correct.
Like
right?
I enjoy our friendship, but I don't just want
to
be
so
friends.
So you set a boundary for yourself is I don't reply to guys I want to not just be friends with at 4:30 in the morning. It's not a game. It's okay. A boundary.
I don't think it's a coincidence that it feels like he's come on stronger or been more communicative. Also at this mm-hmm. time when you're saying you have more time available to him.
Yeah.
I could see him coming around if you like, you just have to set more expectations for yourself and set some boundaries and start saying no and see what happens. But
okay, well,
right now, hookup church.
Right, yeah, hookup church. He's a free agent and you are letting him shop around, you know?
Yeah.
And you're a free agent and you go to hookup church.
And get back out. He's not the only person out there with a good resume, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
He's just maybe the first guy in a long... Keep in mind, you even said to yourself, you weren't emotionally available for a period of time.
Yeah.
Some of those guys that you have hooked up with, you know, you weren't open to connecting with those people. And that's fine. Like, that's great. You weren't ready. So, but don't make it... Don't rewrite your narrative and be like, well, I haven't met someone in 5 years. I haven't liked someone in 5 years. And then add all this weight to this one guy just because you decided to not be available for a period of time.
Okay.
He's just a guy.
You got this.
All right.
Y'all just validated every girlfriend that I have refused to listen to for the past month. So
text your girlfriends the next time he texts you. Text them, not him.
Just text them, not him.
All right. Well, take care.
All right. Thanks, all right. Guys.
Bye-bye.
For calling.
Bye.
Well, Damona, thank you so much. This has been an absolute pleasure.
This was really fun.
Yeah. It's
we did it on my podcast. Now I'm over here.
And yours. Let my audience know where they can find you, enjoy your podcast, follow you, anything that you're working on. Where can they get more Damona Hoffman?
Well, they can get Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman every Tuesday, wherever you're listening to the Vile Files right now. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Damona Hoffman. So those are the best places to find me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K, for all your questions. Don't forget our mediation calls on our Wednesdays Going Deeper episodes. So if you are friendships, relationships, I mean, I'd love a good coworker one. That'd be fun. Anyway, send in those questions. We'd love to get you on the show. And I think that's it.
You're crazy.
Bye.